And that is a hormonal thing. When we have excess fat, it tends to go more towards our middle. Whereas earlier in our life, maybe it's spread throughout your body. Maybe it's a little more in your hips and thighs. Now it tends to reside in our midsection. The great news about that, though, is there's no special like menopause belly fat protocol. You lose that excess fat that's on your midsection exactly the way you lose fat anywhere else on your body. It absolutely can be done.
Hey, I'm Jackie Kirshen, obsessed with all things sustainable weight loss, mindful eating, transforming minds, and empowering you. I'm a registered dietitian and mom who's lost 65 pounds and grew a successful coaching business helping other women do the same. Join me to learn tried and true weight loss secrets while healing your relationship with food and your body. You'll get unfiltered real talk, support, and some tough Jackie love as we dive into motherhood, mindset shift, entrepreneurship, and mastering this crazy thing called life. Think of this as your one-stop shop for a coffee date with your best friend, guide, and mentor mixed with weight loss coaching. Tune in to be challenged, encouraged, and laugh as we change lives together. Welcome to the Mindful Nutritionist Show. And welcome back to the Mindful Nutritionist Show. I am your host, Jackie Kirshen, and I wanted to see how are you doing today? I'm sitting here looking outside and I just see a beautiful sun, beautiful sky, and I'm just taking a moment to be so grateful that I get to literally wake up and do what I love and help support women in their health goals every single day in beautiful sunny San Diego. And I don't think I do that enough. So I wanted to start off with this podcast episode to say, I want you to take a moment to actually look around you and just say, what am I grateful for? I've been really practicing more gratitude, and it's something that's been helping me and heal a lot of things that I'm personally working on my own personal development journey. And I always am very open about sharing that. And I do think just dabbling in gratitude has been something that has helped me see things in a more positive light and just really helping me like excel in the goals that I'm working towards. So I wanted to leave that, you know, for you to take for yourself and to be like, what are you grateful for today? And what I'm grateful for is this amazing episode that you are about to listen to with Kim Schlag, one of my dear friends. Oh my goodness. She was at the very beginning stages of my business. And I'm just so grateful that I got to have this conversation with her. You guys are going to love her because she specializes in not only just like health and wellness and fitness, but specifically for women over the age of 40. So if you are in that perimenopausal phase and you're like, I have no idea where to start. I do not know what to do. I don't know how to work out and I don't know what to eat. This podcast episode is for you. She has so many amazing tips, thoughts, mindset shifts. You're going to love it. So let's dive in. All right. I'm so excited. Welcome, Kim, to the Mindful Nutritionist Show. It finally happened. And you were like one of the first people. I was like, who am I going to have on my podcast? Who has been with me since this podcast idea was in my brain? And of course, you were the first person. So I'm like so excited to have you here.
Nice. That's so nice. Thanks for having me.
Do you remember when we first met?
Yeah, we met in Amy Porterfield's DCA.
Yeah.
Digital Course Academy. We were both building our digital courses and, you know, Amy's a great person to bring people together. And we started a pod together.
I remember being in the Facebook group and I was like, I don't know what I'm doing. And this is crazy. And I'm super scared. And I saw you posted and you had this picture. I don't even think I read your post. I was like, I'm going to be friends with her. I like her. And yeah, so I am so, so, so happy. So why don't you tell all of us listeners a little bit about you?
Yeah, well, my name's Kim. I live in Southeast Pennsylvania. I'm a mom of three. I'm so used to saying three teenagers, but two of them in their 20s now. Like, I need to stop thinking that way. I have two grown sons and my daughter is a senior in high school. I am somebody who has struggled with obesity in the past. I'm somebody who really struggled with diet culture my entire life, like from growing up in the 80s and like the era of the supermodel and reading fashion magazines. That's kind of when like I really got the idea that I should lose 5 pounds when I needed to do no such thing. Really struggled with that idea all through my 20s. And then in my 30s, when I started having my kids, I gained 50 pounds with each one of them. And I never fully lost it before getting pregnant again. And so in my mid to late 30s, I was obese. And that was a really hard thing for somebody who had always thought she needed to lose weight anyway. And I tried every which way and would lose weight and gain it back and lose weight and gain it back. And it wasn't until I was in my early 40s and I really started digging into evidence-based nutrition, like exactly how does fat loss work? Understanding concepts like energy balance and getting into strength training that I really changed this all for me personally. And just people at the gym watched me like totally transform myself. And people were like, what are you doing? Like, how did you do this? And so I just kind of started helping people. I had no training to be helping people. I would just be kind of giving advice. And enough people were like, you should do this as a job, that I was like, I should do this as a job. I was a stay-at-home mom at the time. And so I got certified in being a personal trainer first. And then I went back and studied nutrition with Precision Nutrition and just started taking women in my neighborhood into my basement gym and teaching them how to lift. And that was 8 years ago. And so I've been at this a good long time. I help women over 40 lose weight, get strong, feel really good about their body, feel empowered in their aging. That's what I do.
Oh my God. I love how, so first of all, if any of you are listening and how this started as just something that was either a passion or that she was able to accomplish for herself. So I talked to so many people who get stuck in that, like, okay, well, I have to be perfect. And like, when it comes to weight loss, that has to be perfect in, you know, only eating chicken and broccoli, or even in life, it's like, I have to have all the certifications. I have to have a master's. And I just love how you have this grit, but I want to go back because this is a conversation I have all the time with my audience. You gained 50 pounds with each pregnancy, all three pregnancies. Mm-hmm. If I could screenshot the amount of questions I get about, I gained this after this baby, I haven't been able to lose it, how do I do it? So what was the big aha moment that helped you when you were postpartum? And it was like, no, this is not happening. I am not holding on to this weight and there has to be a better way.
Well, gosh, postpartum, nothing helped me. I got to be honest, because I really was looking in the wrong place. I was reading like women's magazines, like those ridiculous ones. You'll often see me on my stories holding them up and they'll be like, last week, it was like lose 76 pounds by Thanksgiving. And the date was literally October of this year. And I was like, let me fix that for you. And I scribbled out the 7 and I'm like, lose 6 pounds by Thanksgiving. I'm like, maybe you could do this. But like, that's where I was getting my advice. And I'd go to the bookstore and I'd get all these books from like doctors who were like selling their like weight loss kind of scheme. And so I was just highly confused. And so really, whether you're postpartum or whether you're menopausal, it all works the same way. And there's nothing, for me, I was looking for like the thing. I was convinced that somebody out there had some kind of secret, that it was going to be easy. That it was easier for other people. And it was hard for me because I didn't have whatever it was that other people had. I was missing something. And really, I couldn't figure it out. Like I would figure it out enough to like crash diet. Like, you know,
yeah,
I would do Nutrisystem and only eat their food until like I couldn't stomach another bite of it. Like I did Atkins. And I remember sitting there, and this is one actually after my last baby, after my daughter, I sat there with like piles of lunch meat as I was nursing. And I'm like eating this giant pile of meat. And I liked meat. And I'm like, I can do this. Like, I like meat. And then I realized after a few days, I was like, I don't think I like it this much. Like, I don't want to do that. And so I was really like a lot of people, you don't know what weighs up with nutrition. And so somebody tells you like, this is how I lost weight. And so then you try it. And if you don't learn, what does science actually say? Like, how does it work? You can really fall prey to those things. And so that's what I did. I just kept trying this little diet and that little diet. I didn't have this like aha moment until I was in my early 40s. And I realized it came down to the fact that I was eating too many calories. Didn't matter if they came from that lunch meat or if they came from the Twix bars I was eating. I was eating too many calories. You don't have to count calories to understand that concept, but you really need to understand that it's about the energy in your food. And I didn't grasp that until I was in my early 40s.
I love that, because there's so many people out there that forget that, you know, there's not going to be a one quick fix, but the one common denominator in weight loss all across the board is a calorie deficit. And like you said, you don't need to be, it doesn't need to be rocket science. So the way that I teach it is getting you in a natural calorie deficit by eating until you're satisfied. So I teach my clients, you don't have to count your calories, but you don't need to finish what's on your plate. You have to eat to the point where you're satisfied because your body's going to tell you like, this is enough. I'm satiated. So I love that that was really like a big moment for you. So did you ever dabble? Because with calories comes the territory of the perfectionism, the black and white. This is 100 calories. This is 200 calories. How much of a deficit? Oh, I like, it's so funny. I have someone who takes like their Apple Watch and goes like this to like burn and get the steps and like burn the calories and whatever. So how did you ever go through any part of your journey where, because I know for me, like the calories became a little obsessive?
Yeah, I think a lot of people, I think for a lot of things, before a person finds balance, they kind of go both ways. So I overindulged for a good 10, 15 years of my life, just, you know, ate way too much food. And then when I started figuring out nutrition, I was like, oh, and I kind of entered the nutrition space through the bodybuilding industry. Like when I really started understanding things, guys, that's not really a healthy place to go. And so the people who were helping me kind of understand nutrition were bodybuilders. And I'm not going to say that I think all bodybuilding is disordered. It's not, but there's a lot of it that is. There's a lot of it that is. And these were the people I was like reading the magazines and like following what their protocols. And so I absolutely got to the point where I think what I was doing was more unhealthy and I had lost a lot of the weight. I had gotten really fit. I'd built a lot of muscle and I was actually contemplating hiring a coach to do a bodybuilding show. And I was really like anxious about this. Like I thought it was like, because I like the idea of being competitive. And the thing that finally convinced me, like, well, first of all, I didn't want to like be upstairs in a skimpy bikini and turn around and show everybody my butt. That, that just went against my own personal sense of modesty. But the idea that I kind of felt like I was to the point where I had gotten healthier and healthier and healthier by losing weight. And like, I had never eaten vegetables before this time. I'm being dead serious. It wasn't until I was in my early 40s. Like I started eating vegetables. Like I stopped eating so much like junky food. And I felt like I was taking step after step after step to get healthier. And then I felt like I kind of got to this tipping point. And I was starting to do things that were actually leading me away from health and leading me towards disordered. Like I would never say that I got to totally, I was not like a disordered eater, but there were certainly things like, you know, there was a time that I went with my family to a fall festival at this farm and I brought along in the car my cold chicken breast and cold sweet potato.
Yep.
And when it was time to eat, instead of staying in the fair with my family, I hiked my way back out to the parking lot, which was not a short drive, a short walk. And I sat in the car and I ate my cold chicken and my cold sweet potato that I had weighed out.
Yeah.
Like that's not health. Like that's not health. And there was no reason for me to have done that. So yeah, I do think a person can become overly obsessed into whether it's counting calories or just the habits that a person might do to lose weight, but that doesn't make calorie counting or following certain habits in and of themselves, you know, obsessive. It's about finding that balance. And so the clients I work with, many of them count calories, many of them don't. We do a habit-based approach, but really it's the intent behind it. It's, you know, actively seeking to not be perfectionistic, actively like questioning, like, is what I'm doing going to move me closer to my goal in all ways, not just losing weight, but like in a place of like peace in my mind and peace in my body, like actively questioning those things. We don't have to be perfectionistic just because we're counting calories.
Yeah, no, I think that's so important. And, you know, I find it depends also on the person's personality. Like I'm a type A perfectionist. So I was the same as you when I was losing the weight and it started out with like, oh my goodness, like I'm taking these steps forward, like you said. And then it got to this point where I didn't know how to stop. I was like, okay, I see that this is working. And I kept going and going and going. And no one taught me the maintenance. That has been literally like my biggest passion is to teach people how to lose weight and maintain it. Because I feel like there's weight loss or there's intuitive eating where it's, again, we don't talk about weight. So I love that you're talking about this habit-based approach. Tell me a little bit more about that, because I feel like it's easier said than done, right? It's easier said than done. Like, don't fall prey to that. Don't, you know, get to where we got. So how do you help your clients stay the course?
Well, okay, so this is a big discussion. So I'd say a piece of it is going to be our mindset, like how we approach this, like actively coming to the point of like, I'm going to try to lose weight and I'm not going to go about it with the idea of this needs to be fast. It has to be a shortcut. It has to be a hack. I'm going to approach it from the viewpoint of the habits, the behaviors that I practice are going to be behaviors I practice permanently. The degree might change, right? So somebody will not be in a calorie deficit for the rest of their life. So they will have more food to play with in their daily life, but they're still going to use the same habits that I teach them permanently to keep that weight off. Things like, you know, eating vegetables with most meal, eating a higher protein diet, waiting to eat until, you know, you're actually hungry, not just eating by the clock, but eating when you like have the sensation of like, oh, like, actually even tuning into our hunger cues, like actually paying attention to them, is a really new thing for people because they eat either according to the clock because it's like that social time or just because like they like the sensation of eating. So really tuning into that feeling of hunger and satiety, getting out of the clean plate club, right? So many of the women, especially women in my generation, like we grew up in a time like you cleaned your plate, like you were going to be in big trouble with mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, whoever was there. And they tell these crazy stories about, you know, we've all had these experiences in my generation of the things that people would tell us, like if we didn't clean our plate and how bad of a person we were. So like really working, doing the mental work behind those thoughts of like, it's okay to leave 4 bites left because now I'm not hungry. If I need to, I can put those in the fridge, but I don't, it's just as wasteful to eat them if I'm not hungry as it is to not eat them. So doing that kind of mental work, you know, being a person who now moves their body, having grown up being sedentary doesn't mean that you can lose weight and then stay sedentary and keep that weight off. The chances of that happening are not great. You're going to have to fundamentally shift your lifestyle. And that is the big hurdle for people. This cannot be a quick fix if you want to keep the weight off. So you have to learn, like, how do I become a person who is active, even though I'm busy, even though I have kids, even though I have a high pressure job? How do I become a person who's active in my daily life? Building in strength training, finding a way to make that enjoyable in your life. Even if you're like, I don't like the gym, like, okay, well, how do we help you to do that 2 to 3 times a week? And find some sense of at least, it doesn't even have to be pleasure, but some sense of purpose and meaning in it for you for the long term. Maybe that really is just tuning into the fact like, hey, this literally doing this is going to help make sure that I live longer, that I'm able to get up and down off the floor as I need to when I'm older. But really like building these habits and accepting that this is my new life. This is not what I'm doing for the next 3 months.
I love that. And so the thing that really resonates with me is that, again, it's all about who's that person who you need to become to do that. And that is where I feel like I struggle with the most, because it's hard to tell someone you need to become that person. It needs to come from them. They are the ones. And so this is where, as a coach, you and I come in, is to say, dude, we can't do the work for you. I can't make you want to do this. Like, you need to find. So that's where it's someone comes to me. It's just like, I have no motivation. How do I be consistent? I'm not consistent on the weekends. And I'm like, it's so funny. I feel like more that I do is like therapy. And I'm just like,
Things even that you just said, those people who come to us, and it's a lot of people who are like, I'm not motivated to do this. And I'm thinking, buddy, you wouldn't be talking to me if you weren't motivated to do this. You would be like, I don't know. You'd be on a website about like knitting or something. You literally you're like literally looking into fitness and health. Are you, how did you find me? Why are you telling me like you want to talk to me? You do have some motivation. Now, admittedly, it's a challenging thing to lose weight, but you absolutely have some motivation to do it, or you would not be contacting me. And so we have to tap into that motivation. And you know, some of the first questions I ask people are like, I want you to imagine the you that is exactly as fit as you want to be. What is her life like? What does she do in a day? Like, what does her plate look like? How does she move her body? What are her habits? Like, they can really picture that future version of them. If they were that person, who would she be? And you'll get them to really flesh that out. And then I'm like, okay, now tell me about you now. Tell me about your habits now. How do you eat? How do you move? How do you not move? Like, tell me about you now. And then what we do is we examine that space between the two, and we look at what hurdles might be in their way from where they are now to to where they're going to be. It's kind of fun to do that first part when you really look at like who you want to be, right? That new version of you, that you 2.0, that's kind of the fun part. It's harder to like sit and think about like, okay, like I don't eat vegetables and like I spend all evening in the snack cupboard, which by the way, guys, I'm describing myself 10 years ago. Like I didn't eat vegetables. I would like hardly eat all day. And then I'd spend like 2 hours eating snacks standing in front of the cupboard all night long, right? It's like, it's harder to like get really clear like where you're at now. And then, and it often does take a professional like in the fitness space to help you figure out like, okay, what hurdles might you face becoming this version of yourself? And then how do we plan for those hurdles? Like, what do we do to navigate these hurdles? For a lot of the women I work, the hurdles are long held beliefs that don't serve them about themselves and about nutrition. It's time. Right? Like they're very busy women. That's a hurdle that they're going to need to face. For a lot of the women I work with, it's their menopause symptoms. That's a really big hurdle that they're going to have to face because they're not sleeping. You know, there's all kinds of struggles. And so we like look at these hurdles and address them so that we can really help them get to that you 2.0 that they want to be.
I love that. I was just having this conversation with someone else and literally on my stories today, I talked about who is that healthiest version of you. What does she say? How does she act? What does she think? How does she move her body? No joke, literally. This is why I love you so much, because we have the same viewpoint of this. And so I will say, I feel like I lost light or sight of that at some point. And the way that I was able to bring myself back and to keep my weight off is because when I started thinking about her, and I even do this in business now, I'm not perfect. So I'm just prefacing. I'm still struggling with it, but it's like, who is that person that lives that balanced life between work and life? Who is that person that's able to do those things and have a successful business? So what I find so interesting is that it's not even a mindset shift that's just for weight loss. It is literally for all facets of your life.
Absolutely. Without question.
Yeah. So I love all of this. So it's so important. I love that we align on that. But I do want to ask a little bit more about you being in your 40s when you had this shift, because that's a
I'm in my 50s now.
I know. I love that. So again, 50 and fabulous. She's like in her 20s. It's amazing. But so I hear this all the time. I'm in my 40s. I'm perimenopausal. I can't la 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 all of the things. And you were in your 40s and you were healthier in your 40s than you were in your 30s.
Absolutely.
Tell us, debunk that whole I'm 40 shit. And when you talk about like the weight training, and tell us more about like how that's transformed your life.
Yeah. So there's definitely a lot of misinformation and misunderstanding about our abilities in our 40s and 50s, about our bodies, about our metabolisms in our 40s and 50s. So there's definitely a lot to dig into there. I think one of the most important things to get out there right away is that research does not show that our metabolisms are slowing in midlife, ladies. And I know that can be like a real like mind-blowing thing. And I want you to know that this is a good thing. I'm not trying to dismiss the fact that you are putting on pounds. I get it. A lot of us are putting on pounds. But what I want to say to you is it is not your metabolism holding you back. For a long time, it was just kind of accepted knowledge that we thought like, okay, like somewhere 40s, like our metabolism starts to slow and then we have to like, you know, eat less. That's actually not true. There was a really big study done 2 years ago now by Herman Ponzer and his team. And they looked at metabolism across the lifespan, starting at like 9 days old, all the way up to 90. And they did not see a decline in metabolism until after age 60. And even after age 60, it was very slight, very slight. We're talking like less than a cookie a day, very, very slight. And so be reassured that your metabolism has not slowed. So there's a lot that, you know, that takes a lot of the mental load off. There's not a physical thing standing in your way, which isn't to say that things like I said, not being able to sleep, being a really busy person, that these aren't hurdles, but your body is capable of doing it. You do not have to exist on like 800 calories or 1200 calories or 1300 calories to lose weight. So understanding that is a big, massive step forward.
Yeah. Now,
because it's like that, people think like that's the problem. If the problem is your metabolism, there's not much you can do, right? Well, there's a lot of scammy people out there who are going to try and sell stuff to help you like rev your metabolism, ramp your metabolism, start your metabolism. Like, I got news for you. If you need to start your metabolism, like, you're not alive.
Yeah.
Like, you're dead. And that's a big problem. So don't buy into all of that kind of like that kind of marketing stuff. Then the other thing to know is that your hormones are also not causing you to gain weight. In perimenopause, our hormones, they wreak a lot of havoc. It depends on the woman, like how much, how impacted her daily life is based on her, you know, declining estrogen. For some women, and I was among them, it's really debilitating. I very much struggled in perimenopause. I'm fully in menopause now. I'm postmenopausal. Perimenopause was terrible for me. I had hot flashes, you know, we're talking dozens a night, waking up covered in sweat, having to change my clothes multiple times a night. It was very hard for me. I thought for sure for years, I thought that I was like around the corner from being diagnosed with some terrible disease because I just felt so awful in so many ways. Like I'm having vertigo and going to the emergency room and like just bad symptom after bad symptom that at the time I didn't even know what perimenopause was. I didn't know that word. Things are better now. There's a lot more information out there. But though you might be feeling really bad, it doesn't mean that your hormones are putting pounds on you. One of the things that does shift for us in perimenopause when it comes to weight loss is where we store our excess fat. Mm-hmm. As our estrogen is declining, our body shifts where we store excess fat to our middle. That's going to shock probably nobody that you have more fat in your middle in midlife, right? You're going to be like, that's exactly what I'm observing. And that is a hormonal thing. When we have excess fat, it tends to go more towards our middle. Whereas earlier in our life, maybe it's spread throughout your body. Maybe it's a little more in your hips and thighs. Now it tends to reside in our midsection. And the great news about that, though, is there's no special like menopause belly fat protocol. You lose that excess fat that's on your midsection exactly the way you lose fat anywhere else on your body. It absolutely can be done. So that's important to know. And then as far as the role of weight training, and it's the same across the lifespan, it just becomes so much more important as we enter menopause because we are losing muscle at a faster rate now. Our muscle is declining due to aging. Our bone density is declining in menopause faster than at any other time in our life. And strength training helps with both of these things, with our bone and our muscle. It's going to help just as much as if you do it earlier. But ladies, if you are here, if you're in your 40s, if you're in your 50s, it is more important than ever to strength train. It's also going to help with like literally how you look. If you're like, I want to lose weight to just look good. Like a lot of people are like not really thinking yet about like aging or like their health, their bones, their muscles, how that helps them age better. But simply from an aesthetic perspective, building muscle is going to change the shape of your body. Like I had said, I lost weight so many times in my 30s. And there were times that I'd get to a goal weight and I would look in the mirror and I'd be like, where are my toned arms? This is not what I thought this weight was going to look like. Why do I not look like what I thought I was going to look like? And the answer was I was trying to burn off fat and didn't realize that the missing piece was building muscle. And it wasn't until I started building muscle that I built this physique that I'm like, oh, my legs have that definition I was looking for. My arms have that definition I was looking for. Looking toned is fat loss. Yes, if you have excess fat, but it's also muscle building. And you get that from strength training supported by eating enough protein. So it helps you age better. It helps you look better. It helps you move better. Like it can literally help you extend your life.
Hey, San Diego foodies. Let me tell you about my latest obsession, Pita 22 in Carmel Valley. It's not your average Israeli restaurant. It's a flavor paradise tailored perfectly for your taste buds and health goals. Imagine Mediterranean dishes crafted from scratch with love and fresh, healthy ingredients, no sneaky artificial additives. From homemade pitas to labneh and even tomato sauce, there are no shortcuts taken here. And their menu is a dream for everyone. Vegetarian delights like house-made falafel and crispy cauliflower with tahini, which is my absolute favorite. They also have family-friendly favorites like chicken schnitzel, which my daughter Olivia loves, and the softest homemade pita bread you'll ever taste. I've spent 11 summers in Israel, and trust me, this is the best Mediterranean food. And here's the best part. As a Mindful Nutritionist Show listener, when you head on over to Pita 22 and use the code MINDFUL, you'll get a free hummus. Yup, that is a special treat treat just for us podcast listeners. So whether you're in for a hearty grilled kebab or a delicious weekend breakfast like shakshuka, Pita 22 has got you covered. I'm a regular, the flavors never disappoint, and perfectly complement your wellness journey. So join me at Pita 22, indulge in fantastic flavors, and remember to use the code MINDFUL for that free hummus, and I can't wait to see you there. I love it. And it's so funny because it's just like, it's nothing new. Shocker. You know, strength trained and protein. It's like we talk about it all the time. And I just was checking in with a client and we were talking, you know, trying to heal her relationship with the scale. And she's like, look, even though I only see that it's 2 pounds, Jackie, I'm down 4 inches. And I was like, 4 freaking inches. Like, and it's so, people are so quick to be like, I've only lost 4 pounds and I wanted to lose 10. And I'm having the conversation over and over. And I get it though, because I've been there. I've struggled with, I had to be 120 or I had to be 110. Like, again, guys, I'm 5 foot, so I'm very small. So, like, it was, but it's so interesting. When I started incorporating Pilates and incorporating body weight movement instead of just my running, and when my body really changed in my weight loss, it's so crazy. The 50 pounds that I lost wasn't as big as the last 10 when I transformed. And I think that's still really hard because as society, we are drawn to tell me what to do and tell me what's right and tell me what's wrong. So I'm either up on the scale or down. And I think that is a really hard habit to break. How do you help your clients and ladies? Because if you're saying, you know, incorporate strength training, building muscle, we know that that is going to affect their scale weight differently, but they look different. But I'm sure they still struggle because the weight isn't down or it's not the 20 pounds. How do you cope with that?
That's a great question. So helping women to improve their relationship with the scale is a big piece of what I do. And it might shock some people listening to know that one of the main ways I help them do that is by having them weigh themselves more. If there are people who don't want to weigh themselves, I have two options. We either don't weigh at all or we weigh a lot, preferably daily. Those are the two options. The worst case scenario is somebody's jumping on the scale once a week. And the reason that's worst case scenario is because our weight fluctuates so much due to water, due to stomach content, due to things that have nothing to do with the fat on our body. And so when you're jumping on once a week, you get 4 times in a month to kind of see the trend. It builds a trend line very slowly. It does not show the full picture. And so I have them weigh daily. We practice. It takes a lot of practice. I have full lessons in my course about like, how do we talk to ourselves around the scale so that when we get on the scale, we don't let what the scale says dictate our mood and how we behave that day. It's not like, oh, the scale is down, so I can eat breakfast, or the scale is up, so I should go for a 3-mile run. Like, we really work on how we feel and how we, specifically how we talk to ourselves about the number, not getting too excited if it's down and not getting too upset if it's up. And so we really work around our emotions and our thoughts and changing our thoughts around the scale on a daily basis. Then we learn, what does an actual good weight loss trend line look like when you're losing weight? Because a lot of people think it should look straight down on this angle, and that's legitimately not what it looks like. And so I help coach the women through things like, you can literally be losing weight in a moment that the scale spikes. It doesn't matter that on last Tuesday, the scale went up 2 pounds. You could still literally be losing fat. And I show them trend lines of other women who I've worked with who've lost 30 pounds, 40 pounds. And I show them how the scale is bouncing up and down and up and down as over time it is coming down. So it really is an experiment with using the scale as we detach our emotion from the scale and look at what happens. Then as far as the I just said that really fast, right? That's a lot of work. That's a lot of coaching conversations between me and these women. It's a lot of time where they like, we use peer modeling, and like I have alumni from my group come in and talk to them and show them their trend lines. They'll post them and talk about them and about their success. And so we really work through those emotions around that. And then as far as like, what do we do with like, we're like in our mind, we're convinced that 120 is the weight we want to get to. That again takes a lot of coaching to get through. But a lot of the women I work with, they get to a weight and they really like how they're looking, but it is not the weight that they thought they were going to get to. And so again, that takes a lot of coaching. But if you're seeing what you like in the mirror, does it matter what the scale says? And so helping them say like, okay, I don't need to. And look, a lot of the women are really stuck when they come about a weight they were at a certain period of time when they weren't even that healthy. And they're like, wait, I wasn't that healthy then. But like, and you know, we talk about, is there any other aspect of your life that feels like you should be the same person you were in your 20s? Like, do you feel like intellectually, career-wise, that you should be that same person? And the answer is obviously not. Like, no. Like, why should I be? So, okay, so why should you be the same size that you were in your 20s? Why is that optimal? And that's usually a pretty big light bulb moment. But when they can visibly see, and we don't ever just use the scale. We talk about the scale, our progress pictures with side by side so they can look at them, and our measurements and the fit of our clothes. And so when we do all of those things together and really practice looking at that total picture, they can really begin to get rid of like the goal weight mentality where it's a certain number they're going for. Because like if numbers on scales didn't exist, like what would you go by? You would go by, how do I feel? How do I look? How do I fit in these clothes? How do I perform? And so we really focus on that while not being afraid to actually use the scale. Like, I really want to help women get over being afraid of the scale, being like anxious about it and like, what's it gonna say? And for most women, we do that by using the scale. I've absolutely worked with, you know, a handful of clients, a subset of them who like, they just don't want to use the scale. And then we take that out of their lives. Like, we don't like pop on the scale every few weeks and see what it says because they haven't done the work to understand what that number means. One of the biggest shifts, ladies, that you can make when you're thinking about the scale is never looking at it in the short term, not day to day and not even week to week. Averaging out your weekly weight. So you take all 7 weigh-ins for a week, averaging that out and only comparing that average to at least 1 month ago. Not last week, not next week, and certainly not any single digit, but looking at weekly averages at least a month apart can give you a way better picture of what is happening than comparing day to day. And all of that takes a lot of practice.
Yeah, I love that. And so again, when I'm coaching my clients, because I know a lot of my clients, the daily is, you know, too much for them. So we use other measurements. And again, it's so personal. It's up to you. And it's that mindset. So literally I have here right now my sticky notes. And I always say, take a sticky note and put it right on it and put it on the scale. Facts over feels. No joke. I'm like, and I'm sure like my client's scales are like covered in sticky notes. It's like, what are the facts?
Yeah.
The facts are this weight does not determine my success, my progress, my self-worth. I was, you know, traveling. I didn't go to the bathroom this morning. I had a worse night's sleep, or I'm on my period, or, you know, I ate more salt or something, more carbohydrates. Like, there's so many factors. So when I worked in the bariatric space, oh, it was like, I go get my patient and then I go put them on the scale, and it was just like over and over and over again. And I just felt like it always started off our conversation really shitty. Like, we didn't talk about their habits that they've been changing, or they just saw the number. And I'm like, huh, let's look at the body fat percent. You're down like 3%, but they don't see that. So I love that you incorporate all of those different measurements and put it together and say, okay, what's the data as a whole looking like? Mm-hmm. That's so important. So you talked about when you look in the mirror and you like the changes that you're seeing. And this is a tough space and conversation to have, because there's a lot of women that struggle with body dysmorphia and they don't like what they're seeing, even though that we may see it, but they don't like what they see. How do you help people who are actually making progress? Because there's a lot of people that are making progress, but what they're looking at, they don't see it.
Yeah, it's true. And even if it's not like an official, like, oh, I have body dysmorphia, we're just so good at picking ourselves apart. And one of the things I do is I have them help each other with this, right? I say to them, like, okay, like, if, you know, this, I put the women together in who work with me in small groups. So they have these pods, just like you and I were together in DCA working together. I do that in my group. I actually got that from Amy. Like, I build these groups.
Me too.
And so that they can work together and help support each other, because we're never going to talk to another person the way we would talk to ourselves. And so as they can hear themselves, like, coaching their new friend through like her hurdles with the scale and through her hurdles, what she's seeing. And as they hear themselves saying to their friend these things, they can start thinking about like, well, why do I talk to myself differently? Why do I tell her like, hey, like, look at the change there, But even when somebody says to me, I can't see it. And so that really helps. Also, I will visibly point out to them. So the women will send me progress pictures and I can literally circle and be like, look at your back here and now look at your back there. And I'll put a big circle. And after helping them see it through somebody else's eyes, like they'll be like, oh, yeah, like I can see that. I also work with them on their self-talk. Like it's just modeled very heavily in our groups, like how we speak about ourselves, like my alumni who speak in their eye. And, you know, and I very gently correct people. I'm never like, you're not allowed to talk like that. But basically, I don't allow them to talk negatively about themselves. Like I just, I won't stand for it. And they pick up on that really quickly, right? That this is just not how we talk about ourselves. And then also, it really helps, even as their focus is on changing their physical body, that we spend a lot of time actually focusing on them getting stronger. We spend a lot of time thinking about, like, what can you do now? And that really helps because it can be really hard to accept the person in the mirror, but it's really hard to discount the fact that you just lifted up 20 pounds when last week you could only do 15. Like, that is such a tangible thing to focus on. And so helping them focus on that while they're kind of still working through that struggle of accepting this person in the mirror and what her body looks like, especially as we're aging, like expecting, you know, like looking in the mirror and loving who that person is. So really focusing on the strength gains helps so much as they start to appreciate what their body can do and these incredible feats that they just can't believe that as a woman in their late 40s or in their 50s or in their 60s, that they can do these things. Like they're like, wait, like I can do push-ups now? Like I couldn't even do push-ups in elementary school. And so watching their bodies actually be able to do more things helps them so much to be able to love that version of themselves that they look at in the mirror.
I love that. It reminds me of Catherine, one of my clients who, when we do her check-ins, and it just made me so happy. It wasn't that she, you know, is down 43 pounds, which is, you know, freaking incredible, but that she could carry her son who is 30 pounds on like a 10-mile hike, something like that. And that's what she was proud of. And I was like, yeah, that is the unlock. That is where we need to get. So it was more about, oh my God, I am strong. Like I am capable. Like, and again, I think that the way we speak to ourselves is so, so, so important. So how, when you were starting your journey in your 40s, I mean, yeah, let's be real. You started your journey a long time before that, but the real journey.
My successful journey.
The
really
successful
started in my
40s. One, right? Yeah. So for our ladies who want to get started and are just, you said, like, you don't have to be in the gym, but when you think of strength training, you think of gym. Like, where do they even start and how do they have that, you know, that plan or momentum when it comes to being in your 40s or 50s and getting started on a strength training journey?
Yeah. So I will tell you, I've never actually done the numbers, but I'm going to go with pretty close to half of my women, if not more, train at home. Like you have to have proper equipment to strength train, like using soup cans and bottles of wine. Yeah. Did we do that during COVID? Yes, we did. But is it ideal? No, it is not. So getting enough equipment to build a home gym, specifically having heavy enough dumbbells, is really, really important. But you can absolutely do it from home. You don't have to go to the gym. You know, plenty of my clients do, but plenty work out from home. So know that you don't have to go to the gym if that intimidates you. If you're just starting, if you're like, I don't even know what I'm doing in a gym or I haven't been there in a while or how to even start at home, a couple of things I would suggest. Number one, if you can get at least one or two in-person training sessions with a trainer, it's great to have them show you around the gym if you are going to use the gym. If you're not, if you're going to be at home, even to go in and you can just write this down, go in and say like, I would like you to show me proper form for how to do a goblet squat, a row, a push-up, an elevated push-up, a chest press, an overhead press, and a lunge, and a deadlift. Tell them that. Okay. Tell them those things. Say, can you show me these things? Have them help you get your form done. Once you know those things, like you are golden. There's a million variations of all those things. But when you know those things, you're good to go. And if you're like, I'm not hiring anybody, Kim, I don't have that in my budget, you can go to my Instagram page. In the little circles, the highlight circles, there's one that says like beginner, start here. I show you those exercises. You can watch me do those exercises on my YouTube channel. I show you those exercises. Look for the ones I just said, lunge, squat. I'm not going to say them again. I just said them. Okay. Practice those. Practice those without any weight. Watch my video of me doing it. This one's going to be hard, ladies, but I need you to do it. You're going to prop your phone up like against your water bottle. You're going to make sure you can see your full body in the screen from the side. You're going to film yourself doing the exercise you just watched me do. Okay. Like do 5 reps of it, watch it back. I know nobody likes to do that. Do it anyway. Watch yourself. Watch the video of me. Make your video end up looking like mine with no weight. It can take a couple of times. It can take a bunch of times. I have women send form checks into me. And sometimes, you know, it'll be like 3-4 times back and forth until they get it down. Once you've got it down, we start adding the weight. And then the focus is on lifting heavier weight over time in the given rep range. It can be really intimidating to start, but doing just that, you're going to feel so accomplished. Like when you can know how to like do a proper body weight squat, it's like, yay, like I can do this now. Then there's lots of ways we can load you up. So that is the starting position I would give you.
I love that because I think a lot of people think, again, we talked about like being perfect, doing all the things, and it's not about doing all the things. And, you know, when I started, I was just like, I know how to just go like this. Or yeah, go like this. It's just like, to me, it's like, oh, not I. And then I got into, you know, doing squats and like, but so I didn't really know about form. I was just like trying to do as fast and fast and fast and fast. And I wasn't getting any results. So until I started focusing on form, which actually is reminding me I need to get back into my routine because I got comfortable doing other things. So again, like none of us are perfect. But I do think that that is so important, having a professional to look and say, okay, and it's not about like how much you can do, how fast you can do it. It's about being intentional. And I think that's like the biggest thing that you were focusing on. So being intentional, going down slowly. Am I doing this correctly? Am I activating, you know, the correct muscles? And a lot of people are just like, here, up, down. And I'm just like, no.
You know, you bring up a good point when you're talking about speed. And a lot of women do think when they're strength training in the gym, whether they're taking a class or they're following along with like a video like we used to do in the 80s and 90s, they really like think that they should be moving fast. And often that's because they think that the goal of training, the goal of working out, is burning calories. And here's a really mind-blowing fact. It absolutely is not. When we're talking about strength training, the goal is not burning calories. It is not working up a sweat. It is not getting your heart rate up. None of that is the goal for strength training. And so totally disconnecting from that, that is not the goal. The first goal is getting proper form because you cannot actually make good progress till you're doing it correctly, both for safety reasons and just for being effective. So we get that form down. And then the goal is going to be to tax our muscles enough to give them enough stimulus to want to change. Building muscle, that's what we need. We need to give them that stimulus to change. If you want to look toned, you've got to give your muscles enough stimulus to change. If you're constantly like jumping around, trying to work up a sweat, burn calories, that focus is not actually going to get you that stimulus you need to have them grow. So you get proper form, you start adding heavier weight, and then you're going to need to take a dedicated rest time, like 1.5 minutes, 2 minutes between sets, so that you can recover to do the next set. And if you're like, I never feel like I need that much recovery, well, you're not lifting heavy enough and you're jumping around too much. Ooh. And that's not getting you the results you're going to want.
I love that. And my best thing was people like, yeah, I had such a good workout. I burned so many calories. I sweat so much. I'm like, dude, sweat doesn't mean like 30 calories.
It's so ingrained in us that that's the point of working out. And honestly, when we're talking about losing weight, like you do need to eat fewer calories, right?
Yeah.
But that's what we focus on with our nutrition. We focus on building that deficit with our nutrition. When we're talking in the gym strength training, the goal is not about calories. It's just not.
Oh, so I love that. So I want to touch on that too, because, you know, when you start a strength training program, then people are trying to either like replenish and they eat too much or they eat too little. So how did you navigate that when you started your successful journey, your strength training? How did you navigate that nutrition portion?
Look, I didn't really know what I was doing back then. I did not know what I was doing. So I don't know that I was very intentional about that. I really cleaned up my eating habits. I started eating vegetables. I started eating meat because I didn't know. I just wasn't before. So I started eating more meat. I started eating vegetables. And when I say meat, ladies, that's what I ate back then. You don't have to eat meat at all. You just need to eat more protein. If you want to be plant-based, totally great. Like I love tofu now. I love fish. Like you can eat fish, you can eat tofu, you can eat Greek yogurt, you can eat cottage cheese. Doesn't have to be meat. So I ate more protein. I ate less junky food. Like I said, I was big on like I was trying to eat as little as possible during the day, which really backfires, ladies, when you're trying to be in a deficit. Because by the time night came around, in my mind, I was like, I've hardly eaten anything, so I can afford to. And then I'd wolf down a couple thousand calories at night, which wasn't helping. And so, you know, eating intentionally, like eating actual meals during the day, not just snacking all the time, really helped. I didn't realize that that's what I was doing at the time, but it was. And then, like I said, and I didn't know this at the time, but really not focusing on weight loss in the gym. Like if you want to look really good, you want to look fit and toned when you're in the gym, not thinking about weight loss. You're not, again, not trying to burn calories. That is not the place for it. Really focusing on getting stronger in the gym. And those two things together can just really shift your body. But yeah, you don't think like, oh, because I'm in the gym and I'm trying to build muscle, like I need to go home and eat a whole bunch of food. You still need to be in a deficit if weight loss is the goal, but you need to fuel your body well. And so eating enough protein, eating enough vegetables, yes, having some carbs. Like you don't have to have carbs to lose weight, but when you're training intensely, like eating some carbs is going to help you feel really good.
Oh, I love it. I feel like we could talk about this for so long because there's so many things that people probably struggle with when it's like, yeah, easier said than done. But it really is just about taking the first step. It's literally about just taking that scary first step and then building upon it. So I love that you just have such wealth and information. I wanted to ask you, what is one vulnerable thing that you want to share with our ladies, something that you don't talk about much that you feel like would be so helpful? You don't have to tell us the craziest thing.
I'm trying to think. I'm thinking, what's the one vulnerable thing to share? Okay. This doesn't feel as vulnerable anymore because I feel like I'm overcoming it, but this is the first thing that comes to my mind. I always felt my entire life like I was, I should be able to be a runner to lose weight. Like I thought I had to be a runner to lose weight and I hated running. And when I was a fitness professional who hated running, I was super embarrassed by that. I'm like, kind of fitness professional, like I hate to run. Like I'm terrible at running. And so it really bothered me in the early years. Now I got into powerlifting and so like no powerlifters ran. Like that's just not what we did. So I kind of got over that. But in recent weeks, it's crazy, ladies. I love being this age. I really do. Like aging is the best. It just brings you to a place of wisdom. I decided to try to see if I could be a good runner, certainly not to lose weight by running, but I decided to see if I could be a person who liked running. And this was really kind of an experiment for me because I talk to my clients all the time about becoming a different person and believing that they can be somebody different. And so I was like, I'm going to pick something really hard for myself. And for me, the idea of enjoying running is like, how am I going to do that? Like, I friggin' hate it. I've hated it since high school. And so I was like, I'm going to see if I can learn to like running. And so I was like, okay, how will I do that? And so the key for me, a couple things. One, going at it with like, I'm not trying to be good at running. I'm not trying to be fast at running. I'm not trying to compete in running. The goal is literally, can I make this pleasurable in some way? And the second part is to help do that, I was going to go super slow. Like I was going to go so slow that I wasn't like breathing heavy or anything. So I got a treadmill because I thought like, I like the idea of I'm trying to make it fun. So I'm a climate control. I'm going to be able to put on my show. I'm going to put on a good show. I've been watching Beverly Hills 90210, like the old version.
Aww.
That's what I watch a lot. And during my walk breaks, because I started walk run, I would let myself scroll on TikTok because I love TikTok. It's like an enjoyable place for me. Mm-hmm. And so ladies, I have stuck with this for 7.5 weeks now. And again, this doesn't feel as vulnerable because in the beginning, I'm like, I'm literally a fitness professional who is running 1 minute spurts. Like I could run for a minute and then walk for a minute. I'm thinking like, this is crazy. Like as a fitness professional, this should be easier, right? But it wasn't. And so now, 7 weeks into it, I just ran today for 25 minutes. It's the second time I've done it. 25 minutes. It's really easy. I'm going to be posting a video about it later. Like you can hear at the end, like I'm not even breathing heavy. And the reason I'm breathing heavy is not because I'm good at running. It's because I am running so dang slow. I am the world's slowest runner, but I am running. And I have to tell you, I am enjoying it. I am enjoying it. I'm enjoying how I physically feel when I run. Like I like the sensation, which is crazy to me because it used to feel like death. But I'm going slow enough that it actually feels really good. It feels really great after, like this, the sense of like accomplishment of having done it. So I'm going to be running a 5K with my kiddos downtown next month.
Oh my God, Kim, I'm like literally like so overjoyed because I'm a runner. And I say that with such pride because I took many, many years off running. And I think that mindset of I am a runner. So having Olivia, I think I took off about a year and a half just from all the IVF and then having her. And then obviously like running with breast milk is not fun. Sorry, TMI. And I'll never forget. It was a year and a half later. And I ran 5 miles. It was slow, but I ran 5 miles. And it was like that muscle memory. And it's the best feeling. So it's funny, when I journal and I'm like, what is something that I want to, what would have made today a little bit better? And I've just kind of gotten lazy. And that's why this like literally is the best interview, because it's motivated me. I've been like walking and listening. And I was like, you know what? But I really enjoy running. Like I, and so you've motivated me, and I'm so happy that you're doing that. And it's just that it's so good for the body. It's so good for the soul, the mind. You get so many like downloads, and it's just such a great form. But like you said, you're not going to just go run and just for weight loss. It's for how you felt.
Yeah. And it's like I said, it's shocking to me that I can actually say like, not only I can be like, I like running and I'm a runner. I'm like, crazy. I'm super excited that at 53, I can be like, yeah, I'm a runner. And if anybody ever dares to challenge me and ask me like how fast I run, I'm going to have to fight them because it's not fast.
Oh, you're not fast.
It's super, super slow, but I'm still a runner. I'm not a runner because I'm slow.
I love it. Thank you again, breaking all of the perfectionism, the all or nothing, the black and white. I'm good. I'm bad. Like, I think our next podcast episode, we should be running and we should record it. And because we can breathe.
Right? I'm there.
We'll prove each other. Oh, I love this. I love you. Thank you for being here. How can everyone find you? If people want to work with you, how can they watch your running videos? Like, what are all the things?
You can find me everywhere at Kim Schlag Fitness. So my last name is S-C-H-L-A-G. You can find me on Instagram at Kim Schlag Fitness, YouTube at Kim Schlag Fitness. I'm on TikTok. I haven't posted anything in forever because I kind of use it as like my fun spot, but I'm there. I have a podcast. You know what the funniest thing is, guys, because I have menopause brain. Every time I go on a podcast, I forget the name of my own podcast. So I literally have it written on a sticky note. Because every time I'm like, I've had this podcast for many years and I forget the name of my own podcast. My podcast is Fitness Simplified. You can go there too.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Such a gem. I can't wait to have you back on the show. And for those of you that want to actually see Kim in action with the running, go check her out on Instagram and send
her a DM.
You'll
see me soon. I'm posting it soon.
I love it. I love it. Thank you so much. And until next time.
Bye.
See, wasn't that amazing? I mean, Kim is just like a wealth of knowledge, and the fact that she's walking the walk, right? So, you know, talk the talk. She is literally doing what she preaches. And I love the fact that she is coming out and saying, guys, just because you're in your 40s, just because you're in your 50s, first of all, does not mean that you can't reach your health and weight loss goals. Does nothing to do with your metabolism. Like, it is all stemming from your habits, and your habits stem from your thoughts and the way that you think of yourself. So it is so important that you take any piece of this, you know, beautiful episode, how you're going to start implementing, whether it is going and starting to lift more weights, whether it's how you're approaching, how you're going to be, you know, measuring your success, whether it's the scale, like she says for you every single day. Again, like I coach my clients differently because the way that I have my relationship with the scale, but I want you to take how is she saying, this is just one piece of data, guys, one piece of data that you average out and then you compare, then you look at everything, and facts over feels. I think it's just so important. So again, to those people that are coming saying my metabolism is shot, I'm never going to change. And also, are you going to go back to who you were in the body that you were when you were 20? No, let's seize the day. What happened to living life in the moment and being the best version of ourselves? And I think that is just a beautiful thing that Kim is bringing to light and showing us, that you can be as sexy as you want in your 40s, in your 50s, and you can do hard things. So if you enjoyed this episode, I would love for you to leave a 5-star rating and review. Tell me how much you love this episode, what you liked about this episode, and make sure that you tag me on Instagram. I would love to connect. So make sure you send me a DM. And I'm just so grateful for you to be in my community. And until next time, I'll see you next week. We'll be right back. thank you so much for joining us today. I hope you enjoyed that conversation just as much as I did. As always, anything mentioned, any links, any notes will all be linked on our website, mindfulnutritionistshow.com. Just head on over there to take a look. And if you haven't connected with me yet personally, I would love to meet you. Come and find me on Instagram at the.mindful.nutritionist and please DM me. Let me know if you listened to the episode and what you thought. I seriously love hearing from you. Or come to the Mindful Nutritionist Show Facebook page and say hi. I would love to connect with you there. Thanks so much for being here and for being so amazing. I can't wait to chat next time.